Do you all have dishes at home that mom says, don't touch? Yeah, I even did. I had, the other day, I had a hutch that has a bunch of all my teacups and teapots, and some are antiques, and something fell through the glass, and I wasn't too worried about the glass, but I was worried about the teacups, and everything was fine. It was fine. Punched a hole in the glass, whatever. We can get that fixed. But everything else was untouched, which was cool. Well, okay, so this hut, or this bowl at home, it's heavy. You want to feel how heavy it is? Pretty heavy, isn't it? Oh, Brighton's like no big deal, right? Probably lift weights to that. This hutch, or this, gosh, I keep calling it a hutch, this bowl sits way up on top of the hutch. And I look at it, and it looks pretty. But sometimes I think, oh, I should put a salad in it. And then it's like, ooh, no, what if it gets broken? Right? In the back of my head, I'm thinking, don't touch. Just leave it be. But my grandma Johnston used to tell me, Emily, a broken dish is better than a dish that's never been used. So I brought this. My hands shook when I took it down to bring it today, and I thought, what if it breaks? And then I thought, well, but I'm using it, so that's okay. So it reminds me about the scripture that we have today. We're talking about the high priest. The Bible talks about the high priest ascended into heaven. Well, that's Jesus, way up there. But he's way up there, but he still hears us, right? The bowl is way up there, but I need to use it. The cross is way up there. Should we walk into the church and just look at it and go, yeah, that's cool? Or should we talk to Jesus? We should think about it. We should talk to him. We should talk to him about our problems. We should give him praise when we have good things that happen. We should utilize or use prayer to talk to Jesus, not go, oh, yeah, he's cool, dude. Glad I have him in my life. But we should actually talk to him and use the power of prayer that we've been given. So, next time you see a dish, it's real pretty. Mom says, don't touch. Listen to her and obey her. Don't touch it. But remember about the cross and how we need to talk to Jesus and how we need to use our tool of prayer. All right, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for these kids here today. And I thank you just for their giving hearts and their prayerful hearts and just their innocence and faith in you. And pray that when they see dishes or things that they shouldn't touch, that they remember that, yeah, we should just look at that bowl probably, but I need to also remember to pray to God and utilize that tool that you've given to us. So please protect these kids this week. Let them have fun and watch over all of us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Okay, if you would please stand for the reading of the gospel. Today's reading is Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who is in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You may be seated.
I know God is a coffee drinker because he wrote the verse Hebrews. There's your corny joke for the day, but I always thought that was kind of, my kids, I used to tell that to my kids all the time, and they just really got a kick out of that. When we were small children, we all depended on our parents to give us care. Even though we didn't understand what faith was, we began our life with a faith that our parents were going to provide for us, they were going to keep us safe. So it made us feel safe and secure. As we grew up and we went to school, we trusted our teachers. We relied on them for help. And we had faith in them. As we got older, we began to venture out into the big wide world. We start expressing our faith every time we jumped into a car, every place we went. My problem was every time I got in the car, I was praying, come on, start, back in the day. Sometimes that didn't work out so well. But yet, I still believed I could get from point A to point B, and it was by faith. And when we go to a restaurant, we assume that the cook has taken every precaution to make sure the food we eat is safe. Although they always said in some kitchens you don't want to go into a restaurant because you wouldn't eat the food if you did. But you see my point here, that these are things that we don't think about in our daily routines, but it's stuff that we put our faith in. So let's define faith. What's Webster say? Webster says faith is belief without proof, confidence, reliance. This meaning of faith is how most of us live in our everyday lives. Christian and non-Christians, we all have our own definition of faith. In the NIV Bible, the dictionary has a good meaning of faith, which I really like. It says that faith is belief and trust in God, knowing that God is real, even though we can't see him. Follows with our verse, the high priest. We can't see him, but we have faith. The whole Bible is a book about faith when it gets right down to it. The Bible encourages us to have faith in God. What's your meaning of faith in God? Do you define your faith as believing in God because he has answered your prayers? And then that's the faith because God did what you asked him to do? What is the basis of your faith? This morning I'd like to share with you two different types of faith. The first type we're going to talk about is called circumstantial faith. This type of faith is what a lot of people live their everyday lives in. If you or someone you know has ever lost or abandoned their faith, it was more likely that it was a result of them living a life of circumstantial faith. Circumstantial faith is very fragile. Each of us can develop a faith that is based on what we can actually see or the experiences that have worked out for us out of circumstances that end up in positive ways. Here's an example. If we grew up to believe if we did A and B and C, then God was going to follow through and do E, F, and G for us. We're basing that on circumstances. It's a formula that some folks, is how they base their faith on. As we see good results, so then we think this method is true for our faith. Another example of circumstantial faith could be when someone shifts their faith, such as maybe a lifestyle decision change, influences from other people, and they're seeing life's working for them. I'm going to follow those same things that this other person is doing. See, that's circumstance. You're basing your faith off of circumstances. And when the result doesn't happen within our timeline or our prayers aren't answered the way that we think they should have been, we start to doubt God's power and his existence, and we question it. Why? Because it was circumstantial faith. We based faith on results from circumstances that happened in our life. This is a selfish focus on ourselves and brings with it disappointment and misunderstanding of what real faith is. We don't always read the results of our circumstances correctly either. We often base our faith on emotions on the moment. Those emotions can get you in trouble sometimes. And you might be saying, I'm doing what God told me to do in this certain circumstance, but things aren't working out the way I want them to. I did all the things I was supposed to do. I prayed. I read my Bible. I gave God my Friday night, my Saturday night. Well, maybe I'll give God another week. That kind of faith crashes like a rock. It's selfish. Circumstantial faith is fragile as glass because it is the belief in a system or a behavior. Through my Christian life, I've seen people walk out on God because they live a life of circumstantial faith. I watched a friend walk away from God because he was told that he wasn't praying the right way. He wasn't, his faith was weak. He wasn't doing certain things. And he gave up. He threw his hands up and gave up, walked out on God. I haven't seen him in a number of years, and he was bitter because some bad advice on what they told him, someone told him about faith. He was a new Christian, and he was devastated. He felt unworthy. He felt useless. He felt like God can't use me, so this is a waste of time. And he walked away. That circumstantial faith failed this young man. Circumstantial faith leaves out one key thing. It leaves out the will of God for each of our lives. God's got a plan for us, and it's in his own timeline and not ours. People distort faith because they use God as a wishing well sometimes, looking inward into themselves instead of outward and upward to their Creator. Our second type of faith, foundational faith. When I started studying this, the first thing that popped into my head with foundational faith was the old hymn which says, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." Foundational faith is not an experience. It's not a quick answer to a prayer. It's not a good feeling because of positive circumstances. Foundational faith is confident trust in God's promises. And God's greatest promise is that we are all saved through Jesus Christ. I'd like to back up in Hebrews 4 to verse 12 and just read this for you. "For the word of God is alive and powerful, it is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable for." He was made man. He experienced everything that we do in our lives, or everything that we ever will experience. Foundational faith is Jesus Christ and that belief. He was history that actually happened. He is the Savior and promises eternity for all of us if we believe in him. He is the only way to the throne of God, who loves us despite of our sinful natures. By faith in Jesus Christ, we can approach the throne of God. And what happens when we do that? We receive mercy. We find grace. And it's in the times that we need it. Hebrews 11 is known in the Bible as the Faith Hall of Fame. I'm not going to read that whole verse, but I encourage you to maybe dabble into that this week and just take a look at it. In short, it gives accounts of faith displayed by Cain and Abel, Moses, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, and many others. And faith is defined to us. 11:1, it says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Each person that was mentioned in chapter 11 were God's ordinary people just like us, who by faith held on to God's promises, stood on that rock with him, and they were obedient to his commands. And towards the end of Hebrews 11, it talks about Moses. who was faithful to God. And he never entered into the promised land, but yet he hung on to God and kept his faith strong. Is your faith in God solid? That if he never did anything else for you again on this earth, would you stand firm and trust in the promise of Jesus Christ? That's a hard question. Would you still love God? If your life came crashing down onto you, I mean really caving in, would you still have faith in Jesus Christ? That's when my faith gets stronger, is when I'm going through a trial. You know, life's too short to put our faith on things of the world, on things that fade away. Real foundational faith is believing that God is the foundation. It's believing that God is real. And I think the coming of Jesus Christ is proof of that. If you're sitting here today, maybe you're struggling with your faith. Maybe it's been shaken. Maybe you keep questioning why God lets battles go on in your life. Don't give up. We're all fighting a battle against an enemy who wants to rip us apart from eternal life. Satan wants us to fail. The faith in Jesus Christ enables us to face any trial that we come up against. The faith in Jesus Christ keeps us straight and true to God. We are all in this, the storms of life together. This was a spring of faith for not only myself, but for all my farmer friends. When it started raining, everyone was, well, I've got to keep the faith. It's going to stop raining sometime. I mean, eventually did, but there was some, it was a very critical time in a lot of people's lives. There was a lot of, you know, they plan for it, they spend a lot of money, they're prepared, and then some of them get flooded, and then you spend more money, and it became a financial stress on a lot of guys. But that was kind of a daily thing. Well, I'm being faithful that it's going to quit one of these days. So it was quite a trying spring for a lot of people. But you know, God's in control of our lives. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I mean, things bad can happen to us. Even the holiest, most godly people I've known have had tragedies, serious tragedies come in their lives. And they keep believing because they are on foundational, solid faith. Knowing that they'll die someday and they will see and live with Jesus Christ for eternity. That's pretty good news. Their faith is a promise of eternal life in a heaven that will be so beautiful beyond belief. They don't have to rely on circumstances that this world lives by. Their faith is strong in the living God according to his word. As verse 12 says, the word of God is alive and powerful. When the author of Hebrews wrote that, it's the same meaning and I think more powerful today as ever, being the truth. This is our faith. We're reminded in Revelations 2:10, do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison and test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, Lord, for the truth in your holy word. Help us to cling to your word. Help us to know that we can receive strength from your word. Help us to know that you are the center, that you are our power source. Help us to stand solid in your belief that you are with us. If we're struggling with our faith, Lord, get us back on track. Strengthen us. Help us. And Father, we pray for other people that we know that may be suffering from lack of faith. Lord, we ask that you open up your doors and gates and pour down your blessings upon them and show them your truth. And Father, we lift you up and praise you. In the name of Jesus, amen.